Hello, everybody. I'm back, Mongo Slade, for the third edition of the Cranium Crap Podcast. Crap from your cranium, featuring your host, the one and only, the Mr. Mongo Slade. Just to give you some insight into the life of Mongo Slade, which of course is an alter ego, my superhero name, so to speak. But I do have a regular name, and I have a regular job, and I go someplace every day and actually do some regular work. And nobody at that job knows about Mongo Slade. But it's been a long day. I leave pretty early to get to work because I have to drive, I don't know, about an hour and 15, 20 minutes, which right now is really starting to get to me. It's getting to be tiring. I've been doing this now for about maybe 2 months, maybe a month and a half or so, and it's getting to a point where I'm not sure how much longer I can do it. It's not just me, but my car as well. I don't want to put all those miles on my car. I have a nice car. It's a good car, foreign car, and I don't plan on buying another car no time soon, so I need to take care of this car the best I can. I bought this car used, got a good deal, and like I said, I need to take care of it. Because you see the price of new cars. Hell, I was in a car dealership, I don't know, about a week or so ago with a friend of mine. And she wants to buy a new car. Her lease is up, so it's time for her to buy another car. She wants a nice car to go out of town in and kind of upgrade a little bit. We went to go look at some Buicks at the local Buick dealership. It was kind of late, so that it wasn't that many people there. It was one sales person, sales lady there. She had already spoken to another. But of course, these car dealership salespeople, they are some underhanded snakes. And I told her, you shouldn't even talk to that lady, because I don't see what the goal is for her if the other person is going to get the sale, unless they have some sort of way of splitting sales, which I doubt. So she spent some time with her. Plus, I didn't really like the way the lady looked. She didn't look like the typical car salesperson, saleswoman kind of person. When I think of a car salesperson, I think of somebody that's kind of slick and either has on a decent looking outfit or something totally outrageous. But she was like kind of an older black lady. She talked kind of funny too. Like, she talked as if she didn't have a gross motor skill control over her lips. So her lips kind of slammed shut and kind of cut off some of her words before the words can get out of her mouth. So it was kind of hard to talk to her too, because it was like she was stifling words in her mouth, and she couldn't control her lips. They were moving involuntarily as a separate organism from her body. And she also kind of reminded me of a hamburger for some reason. I don't know why, but she looked like a hamburger. If a hamburger and a human ever morphed together through some diabolical experiment by some crazy doctor somewhere, and he decided he wanted to make a hybrid species of half man, half hamburger ground beef, I would suspect that this lady would look like that experiment outcome. She looked like a hamburger with a mustache, because she did have a mustache. So, in essence, if I'm going to get ripped off by somebody, I definitely want to get ripped off by somebody who doesn't look like a talking hamburger with a mustache. But the good thing, though, is she has good credit when it comes to buying an automobile. She has history of paying her note on time. So, pretty much, she has free run at the dealership and get what she needs for a decent price and a decent interest rate. Unlike me, years ago, I bought my first car out of college, and I had a very poor credit at the time. I made, like I said, I told you in the last podcast, I made some mistakes. So I got the idea in my head that I wanted a van. I think I was going to be some sort of family man or something, but I wanted a van, and I had very poor credit. So when you have very poor credit, your car buying experience is totally different from walking into a dealership knowing you got a decent credit score and some money down, or you might even have your own financing. So when you have poor credit, you have three options to buy a car. One, you can buy it in cash. Most people with poor credit don't have a lot of cash. Two, you can go to one of those buy here, pay here places, which I wholeheartedly do not recommend. Don't go there. Unless you can work out some really great deal and find you a needle in a haystack vehicle without a million miles on them, but definitely stay away from those places. Three, you can go to the dealer with your poor credit. Now, some of the larger dealerships have programs for people with poor credit. Now, pretty much most dealers have that now, it seems like. But back in the day when I bought my van, it seemed like just certain dealerships had these low credit programs. You heard of them, the push it, tow it, bring it in. We'll give you anything for your trade-in. We can finance anybody. If we don't, we'll give you $100 deals. Of course, they can finance anybody because they'll want $1 million down or some outrageous interest rate. And in Ohio, there is no cap on the interest rate. So you've seen these. You can look in your paper, and whatever day they advertise all the car sales, you see these places that got the 800 numbers. Come get a car. We finance you. Second start credit, fresh credit, you know, bankruptcy, this, that. They name every situation in the world that you can get into. Bankruptcy, low credit, slow pay, chapter this, chapter that. You can get you a car, though. Come on in. What makes this experience different, when you buy a car with poor credit, it works backwards. For the first thing, you call the 800 number to set up an appointment for you, and you got to bring in, I don't know what they tell you to bring in, like proof of income, like check stubs. You got to have proof of residence, so you got to either bring in like utility bills, an apartment lease, mortgage, whatever. You got to bring in your proof of insurance, your insurance card, all that. And you got to, for some reason, they want references. They want you to, like, write down the names of three people that can vouch for you. They got to have jobs, of course, but they're usually your friends who have the same credit score you got. But so you get three buddies or maybe a boss, and you put your name down and their number. For far as I know, they don't call those people, but I think if you get behind on your payments, they'll call the people and tell them what a bum you are. But so after you do all that, when you go there, I know this, I've done this more than once. So when you go there, you gotta tell them, you know, they run your credit and all that. So all that's set up before you even get there. So they pretty much want to know how much you can afford and what kind of car you want. And usually determining from your paycheck stubs, they know what you make. So you can't go in there trying to buy an Expedition making $8 an hour. So you got to be reasonable with what you can afford. So you go in there, you say, I can afford $300 a month, a full or mid-sized sedan. Excuse me. So what they do is they show you a selection of cars that fit into that category. Let's say you want an SUV. Trust me, it ain't going to be the newest, freshest SUV. It's going to be something a couple years old with some miles on it. But you tell them, and maybe you make a decent amount of money, say, yeah, I want an SUV. You know, I work in the construction field or whatever. So they'll show you certain SUVs you can buy. You can't buy these other ones over here. You can buy these right here. So you got to kind of work backwards. In my case, I told the fool I wanted a van. And I told him the payment amount I can afford and what I can put down. They had it so set up that you couldn't even go look at the cars at this place. You give them what you can afford and all that, and you sit there for like 15 minutes, and the dude comes back riding around the corner with your car. Like, this is it. So it was one of those Astro vans. It was like a 93, a 94. But this one was the kind that Ford made that the back of it extended about 4 feet past the back wheels, the rear wheels. It was the ugliest goddamn van ever. And that was the only thing that I can get out of there was a red van with the back that extended 4 feet past the rear wheels. It looked like one of those church vans you see. But with my experience, the shit got worse, because after we worked the deal out with the salesperson, we went to the finance guy. The finance guy is usually a better salesperson who gets promoted. And he's the guy that's usually, you know, kind of slick with the nicer suit, this, that, and the other. So we got all our paperwork in front of us. And at the time, I had a Grand Prix. The trans went out. And I had owed like maybe $2,500 left on the payments. And what I read in the paper and what we discussed on the phone was that they would come get this car and be part of my, it'd be a trade-in, you know, up to $3,000 that they'll give you back for a car, trade-in. So since I owe less, they were supposed to come get this car, tow it back, that's my trade-in, you know. So I filled out some a contract stating that they're going to come and get this car within a week, tow it away, and pay off the difference, the $2,500, and I just pay for this van. That's that. So this guy, this fucking finance guy, I should name him fucker finance guy. So this fucker, he has an envelope. We're in his office, and he has one of those spinning chairs. So he sticks all the fucking paperwork in the fucking envelope, and he folds up the contract to come get the car. Puts the motherfucker in the envelope. I'm watching this shit with my own eyes. And he starts, for whatever reason, spinning around in this motherfucking chair. And he spins around one time. He has the motherfucker up to his mouth, the envelope, licking the motherfucker. Spins around again. The fucker's closed. Boom. Puts the motherfucker in front of me. I pick it up. I get my keys. I put the envelope in the glove department. I drive the fuck home. That's that. About a week and a half later, they never come and get the car. It's just sitting out there. They promised to come get the car like within, I don't know, a couple of days. But contractually, it was a week. So I called this guy. I said, listen, dude, what's up? You guys never came and got the car. Do you need the address again or whatever? He's like, what car? I'm like, the car that we signed the contract for you guys to come and get. You know, the tow it, drive it, push it. You pay off the difference of my loan car that's sitting out back with the busted transmission. I don't know of no such car. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? We had a deal. I signed a contract that you're supposed to come get this car within a week. Oh, no. I think we have a miscommunication. We never discussed the car, Mr. Slade. That never came up. You just financed the vehicle as it is. We didn't know anything about a trade. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, motherfucker. Yes, you do. We sat there and discussed this motherfucking car. You seen a picture of it. He's like, no, I know not of what you speak of. You know, he didn't say it like that. But so I'm like, dude, I signed a contract. I got a contract. Well, he said, he's like, where is it? I'm like, it's an envelope you gave me. He said, oh, I'm like, he's like, okay, well, go check your envelope. I'm like, yeah, I will, motherfucker. So I storm out the motherfucking house all pissed off and shit. I'm going to show this motherfucker. He going to come get this goddamn car. See, the problem was I couldn't pay a note on two vehicles. And I know it was due. And I was already kind of behind, so I needed them to come to get that car and do what the hell they said they was going to do. And remember, the whole time, during this whole week and a half, I never bothered to look inside that envelope at all. So I storm out the house to the car. I'm going to show this dude kind of attitude. Rip the envelope open. So I got the contract, you know, the long contract with, so I'm kind of going through that. I'm looking like, wait a minute. Doesn't show a trade-in on this. So I'm like, what's the other piece of paper that I signed saying I'm going to come get this car? So I'm flipping through the, you know, all these little paperwork he gave me. And I don't see it nowhere in this envelope. So I'm looking like, wait, something ain't right here. So I look through the glove department. I was thinking, maybe he gave it to me, not in the envelope. So I'm flipping through the glove department, looking everywhere. And I searched this car high and low. I looked through that envelope, you know, regular business-sized envelope that he stuffed all these papers into. I must have looked through that envelope for a half an hour. Then it just dawned on me. The spinning chair. The licking. You know. It's kind of hitting me now. Because you know. Sometimes I think kind of slow. My name is Mongo Slade. So I'm thinking kind of slow. And it's kind of hitting me like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know. Then it fucking dawned on me. The finance manager at a major auto dealership pulled one of the oldest short cons in the fucking history. Motherfucking bait and switch on my ass. So, suffice to say, they never came and got the car. So I would call this guy every so often, you know, yell at him, cuss at him, call him names. Never did no good. It's funny because I haven't thought about this story in years. This happened a while back, but it's, now I think about it, now it really pisses me off. I did file some sort of case with the government organization. Was that the FTC or somebody? And this stuff was before, like, when it was really starting to crack down on mortgage lenders, car dealerships, and all that. But when I talked to the lady, I remember she said they had several complaints out, but I never followed through. I should have. Probably would have got something out of it. You know, but nowadays, the government, the feds, man, they crack down on that kind of shit now, boy. Between the mortgage dealers and these auto dealerships, man, they cracking down. And shit, speaking of cracking down and the federal government, what's up with Michael Vick and fighting dogs and a federal indictment? For one thing, I didn't know that dog fighting was a federal crime. I didn't know you could get a federal indictment for dog fighting. This in itself has more layers than it really presents itself. And when stuff like this happens, I kind of think that they always want to find a poster child, an evil poster child for the next cause. Because big causes can put people in office, lobbyists and all that kind of stuff. You get behind a cause and you put the evil, black, maniacal, insane, dog-fighting mogul Mike Vick in front of that cause, and, you know, and bring people like him down. Then you got people who will give money to these organizations, and in turn, these organizations can lobby their people right in the office. I just learned all this from reading John Gresham books. I'm getting smarter. Another thing, too, why this is really bad, especially for black quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are supposed to exhibit good deduction skills, bright decision-making skills, precise decision-making skills, quickly, in current time. In my opinion, fighting dogs is not the best example of logical decision-making skills. This right here is going to affect black quarterbacks. I'm going to expound on this. Expound. Is that a word? Expound? If it's not, it sounds good. I'm going to expound on this a little bit later. But briefly, the current knock, even after all these years on black quarterbacks, is that they use their athleticism instead of their brains to accomplish their goals, whether it be getting the ball downfield or getting yards or whatever, you know, scrambling, throwing the ball, or just rushing the ball, you know. That's the knock on black quarterback. Oh, he's so athletic, you know, but they rarely say, well, he's so smart, he can do this, read defenses. Come on, these brothers are smart. Let's get over that. They smart, okay? That's a given. Like I said before, using your NFL money to become a dog-fighting mogul isn't the best use of precise deduction skills that quarterbacks in the NFL are supposed to exhibit. I read in the paper that he bought his first set of dogs right when he got drafted. So this might have been something he grew up doing. He might have been involved with this for years. You know, so a lot of guys take their NFL bonus money and go buy houses. Some people buy cars. Some people spend it all on women or their family or whatever. This fool decide he's going to build his dog fighting empire. That's probably what he was thinking about when he was standing next to Paul Tagliabue when he got drafted. And then the Atlanta Falcons pick Michael Vick. Here's Michael Vick in his head. Hi, I'm Michael Vick. I'm the first round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to take my bonus check and buy me some vicious killer pit bull dogs and fight them against other vicious pit bull dogs. I'm going to stage the fights at my house. That's in my name. If the dogs lose, then I'm going to kill them in some sort of horrific manner. Not the best use of logical decision-making skills, Vic. Fucking dickhead. If it's true, allegedly.
Now it's time for the Mongol Slade movie review. From time to time, I'll be reviewing movies that I haven't seen. I can usually make a pretty fair assessment by watching the trailer. This week, I'll be reviewing the movie Are We Here Yet? Or Are We Here Again? Part 2? Or Are We Back Yet? Whatever that new Ice Cube movie name is.
Got a little Ice Cube out here. It's a vintage Ice Cube. This is the Ice Cube I know right here. Ah! Fuck them motherfuckers. Right here. Here's a little story about a nigga like me. Never been a man let out the penitentiary. Mongol Slade would like to say I'm a crazy motherfucker from around the way. Since I was a youth, I smoke weed out. Now I'm the motherfucker that you read about taking a life or two. That's what the fuck I do. You don't like the way I'm living, man? Fuck you. This is a game, and I'm in it. Mongol Slade will fuck you up in a minute. See, Ice Cube, I know he wouldn't take no shit off no mealy mouth, laughing hyena kids. He wouldn't drive those kids across the fucking country. He'd have told that heifer he ain't doing shit. Her nappy dugout ain't worth all that much. And that's an Ice Cube term.
In this movie, it seems like Ice Cube is married. He has the kids. He moved somewhere, like out in the country or somewhere, probably really far away than where he was from. Obviously, he doesn't have the, I don't know, he had a card store or something like that. I don't know. Who knows? But, and I guess part of the movie, he's trying to rehab this house. And the guy from Scrubs, from what I see in the trailer, like I said, I never saw the movie. I'm not really sure. But it seems like he's the realtor and the contractor. And I'm pretty sure he has other positions or jobs in the movie. He probably shows up everywhere throughout the movie with a different job. Like that guy from Sanford and Son. That guy that goes, yes. That's the dude, like he would go to the pawn shop. Or he would go like to a restaurant, and that dude's back would be to Fred Sanford. He would turn around like Fred, be like, "Hey, I want to do this, that, and the other." And he'd be like, "Yes." So that's probably the same kind of concept as this guy from Scrubs. But Ice Cube, I know if this dude was giving him some problems, he went and got Ren or Dre or Q or Eazy-E, just stomped on this dude's ass, according to the song. He also got scared by a raccoon or a chipmunk or something. But according to the records, he should have just shot that fucking raccoon. So I would imagine that the movie is filled with Ice Cube going through a lot of unfortunate mishaps trying to rehab this house. You know, falling through shit, falling off of shit, you know. That's what it looks like in the trailer. He's just falling off a lot of shit. And every time he falls off of some shit and falls real hard on the ground, kind of cartoony like, because if he had that many fucking accidents at his age, he'd be fucking traction somewhere in a hospital. He would just give the fuck up. But whenever he falls off of some shit and hits the ground really hard and he's all fucked up, the mealy mouth kids start laughing at his ass. So I don't know, that would piss me the fuck off. So I would imagine, like I said, I didn't see the movie, I'm not really sure. I would imagine throughout the movie he gets better at rehabbing the house, and it probably gets to a point, excuse me, I'm burping, where it gets kind of sentimental and whatnot, and has some sort of really happy ending or some shit like that. I don't know, but he's like a Black Dagwood, pretty much. All in all, it's probably a good movie to take your kids to see. They can laugh at Ice Cube fall off of shit and have unfortunate mishaps, but they wouldn't have laughed at Ice Cube back in 1989. Because they'd have got fucking Rat Pack.
That is the third edition of the Cranium Crap Podcast. And stay tuned very shortly for the fourth episode of the Cranium Crap Podcast by the one and only Mongol Slade.